Imagine having the life of your dreams. Not temporary cash and glory, but happiness and inner peace. Explore new ways to be a creator and take your own journey into greatness. Is it possible? What does it take to make that happen? It takes the person known for extreme results. He's called the Cage Breaker and the Ultimate Catalyst. Coming back from the brink of death and now crushing it for himself and his clients, this is Your Ultimate Life Podcast with Kellen Flukiger.
Today's episode is one that everyone deals with. It is a struggle that we all have, sometimes at great and mighty depths, and sometimes maybe not so much. But here is the truth. Everyone struggles with self-doubt. Now let's talk for a moment about what is self-doubt. Well, it can have lots of meanings, but the easy one is to not believe in yourself. There's a favorite motivation video, YouTube video that I have that I don't usually watch the video, but I listen to the audio as I walk. And one of the questions posed is, why is it that we don't believe in ourselves? Why is it that we're always imagining something that's going to go wrong? Today's podcast will be three parts. One is, what is self-doubt? And we'll talk a little bit about what that is and come to understand that really what it is a denial of your divinity. The second part is going to be what I call pick your battles for meaning. We can't do everything there is to do, but you can do anything you want. And that's an important distinction. And part three will be about getting it done. Because at the end of the day, whatever it is that you choose to be and do won't matter unless you be it and do it. So let's go back to this self-doubt monster that everybody deals with. Now, this is a elaboration of the Master Your Monsters episode I did way back in the beginning. I think it's episode 10 or 11 or 12 or something. I did a whole course once on Master Your Monsters and picked 10 monsters that we all struggle with. And I called them monsters because it's like, you know, when you're a kid, you maybe think monsters are under the bed or maybe in the closet or anywhere that's dark. I used to have a terrifying fear at my grandmother's house that there was something in the cellar. And the reason I did is because over in the corner of the cellar was a water pump. And the water pump sat there and it brought in water from a spring that was on the property. And the water was cold and beautiful and I loved drinking it. But the pump would come on without warning, and it made an awful, really loud noise, especially for a small earthen cellar. So it scared the daylights out of me, and when we had to go down in the cellar to get some fruit or potatoes or whatever, it was terrifying. So that's Master Your Monsters, is those monsters that live in the closet or under your bed and come out from time to time and eat your lunch. And today, we're talking about the self-doubt monster. Now, the first part here is, why do we doubt ourselves? Why do we do that? A lot of times it's a story that we have. It certainly was for me, and it came from both well-meaning and ill-meaning people who tell you things. You know, as a child, you're really impressionable. So if you get the idea from someone that you suck or that you're not okay or that you're disobedient or that you're selfish or that you are a bad person, as opposed to you've done something that we'd like to talk about and correct, you internalize that. I certainly did. And I accepted and totally believed that I was inadequate. No matter what, it would never be okay. I was busted. I was ruined. I was inadequate, and on and on and on. Now, there's lots of things that I did that were probably not okay by the standards of my upbringing and parents and church and neighborhood and whatever, but there's a huge difference between you are bad, you are evil, you are broken, and you know we're learning to get along in society, how to treat people, and all the rest of it. So I never made a clear understanding. I never got a clear understanding of that distinction. I think that's where it starts. It goes on in school when you get bad grades and people make fun of you. I wore crummy clothes to school with patches and all kinds of stuff. So I got laughed at and they had nicknames for me. We used to go to the farm in the summer and I wore hiking boots to school sometimes and I was called Country Cow and, you know, all the typical stuff. Nothing, lots and lots of people have that kind of bullying and teasing and so forth. But for me, combined with the physical abuse I got at home in the form of discipline, which was today felony child abuse, the level I got, but whatever, combining all those things together, I lived as a creature of self-doubt. I lived as someone who, in all cases and for all reasons, doubted themselves. And maybe you have a similar story or a different reason to get to a similar place. But here's the truth. You are a divine creation. You were created by God. You were put here with a purpose and you were given gifts and talents. After all, the definition of your ultimate life is creating a beautiful, joyful life that is full to the brim every day with purpose, prosperity, and joy that you create by serving others with your divine gifts. Now, if you think of that, there's no reason in the world to have any self-doubt. And now that you understand it, I mean, as a kid, you may not understand it. But, you know, one of the things that happens when we grow up is we have the opportunity, if we want to take it, to take responsibility for everything that goes forward. Like, I don't have to accept that story anymore. Now, I may need to, and I have done a ton of work and talked to shrinks and worked with antidepressants and tried to figure out if there was something chemically wrong and all those different things. But it was all because I wanted to take control. It was not because I was beat in a corner and I have to do something to get by. No. I'm a divine being and so are you. And in that knowledge, you and I, we can take control and do whatever it is we have to do to get to a place of productivity and joy and live your ultimate life. So wherever you came from and whatever has happened to you before, it isn't happening now. Or if it is, you can change it now. You are an adult and you own your life. Like your life is yours. It doesn't belong to anyone else. And you can do whatever you want to do. It may be painful, it may be difficult, it may require a lot of soul searching. Mine certainly did. A lot of internal work and changing thought patterns and habits and beliefs and on and on and on. But the bottom line is I finally realized that living in self-doubt, living in believing I can't, in the state of believing I can't do it, I can't get there, I can't make it, living with that on and on is a denial of my divinity. And it is for you too. So let's not do that. Don't deny your divinity. Accept, embrace, and live in the fact that you have divine gifts and talents. Now, whatever's come before, you may need to do a bunch of work like I did. You may need to go do all kinds of stuff. So what? Do it. Like you have a right to create this ultimate life and live in joy, happiness, and prosperity. You do. And the only question is, are you willing to do what's required to get there? Part two is picking your battles for meaning. After you discover your and you accept and internalize the thought, the knowledge, the certainty, the power of being a divine creation, then you get to the place of, okay, I'm a divine being and I can do everything. I can do this. I have no limits. In fact, that's one of my sayings in my personal truth and commitment. I have no limits. Coming from love and divine power, I have no limits. Now, that's true on its face. There's nothing you can't do. But because we have a limited ability to focus our attention, and if we scatter it all over the place, we don't do very well, but we have the ability to focus our attention. And so what that means is you can do anything you want. You absolutely can do and achieve any goal that you want, but we don't have time to do everything that there is to do. So that means we have to be intentional and focus. And that's good because we weren't given every divine gift. We weren't given every single divine gift. They're spread out. Everyone has divine gifts. One, two, three, I don't know. You have some, but you don't have all of them, and neither do I. And so what the key is to figure out what those are and then use them to create your ultimate life. Now, for me, one of my divine gifts is my speaking, my writing, and my music. Well, I wasn't encouraged in any of those areas. Now, I was raised in a musical family. Don't get me wrong. I had, you know, my mom taught me piano and we had to practice growing up. And I am very grateful for that. We were required, forced would be the word, forced to practice. We couldn't go play and this and that and the other till we had. I'm grateful for that. And I didn't consider that cruel and unusual punishment. I might have at the time, but that was nothing compared to the physical things. But I don't now. And I'm grateful to develop that talent. But the problem came when I wanted to do that for a living. I wanted to do it in real life. Well, that's evil because musicians are bad and rock and roll will corrupt your soul. So there was no encouragement and no space and no vision or opportunity for me to do that in real life. And so that made me feel like I had to crush, bury, eliminate, not honor my gift in music. That caused endless turmoil for decades for me. I ran a recording studio. I had contracts in there with A&M Records and other, you know, prominent recording companies of the time, and did lots of things, you know, video soundtracks and on. And the studio was very successful. But there was always this nagging, this is not the right, quote unquote, thing to do. And so I ended up denying my gifts, closing the studio for a time and pursuing hardcore a career in some business venture. And it turned out to be very lucrative. One of the gifts I have is blessed with quick learning and some other things. So I did well. I got up in the company. I became an officer. I made a lot of money. And at the same time, I was miserable, unhappy, and sad. And it was like I had paved over the whole area of my life that I wanted to pursue. And when you have that kind of conflict, it creates all kinds of problems, as you might imagine. And so it did for me. Now, I'm not going to go into all the details here, but you can read them. They're not hidden. They're in the book Tightrope of Depression. And if you feel like knowing all the details of what's happened and what happened in the 40 years I struggled mightily with untreated depression, MDD, you'll find that interesting. And otherwise, don't read it. My point is, picking your battles is what I finally decided to do. I threw off all the restrictions. I embraced entirely my love for music. I've written much music in the last 10 years. I just am finishing two albums, one for Tightrope of Depression called Name of the Black with dark songs on it, talking about the sadness, and then one called Promise and Power, talking about healing and recovery as the companion album for Volume 2, which is called Down from the Gallows. My point here isn't what I did. My point is to encourage you, because the only good my works and my books will serve is if they help you. If you read them and you listen to the music or listen to these podcasts and you say, you know what? I'm going to honor my divinity. I'm going to do this because I can too. I'm going to stop doubting myself and take control and do whatever is required to get to that next level. I commit to do that. And that's what I want you to do. That's your challenge from me, is to stop settling for some form of mediocrity. Stop settling for less than beauty. Stop settling for less than the power that's in you. Why would you do that? Part three of today's podcast is getting it done. So now that I've issued this challenge, it isn't weird, and people say it to me all the time, yeah, Kellen, but how do I do that? I don't know how to do that. Now, there's lots of ways, and I'll give you some three or four key approaches right now. I have a client right now who's achieved a lot of celebrity, a lot of key success in their lives. And yet, as they come to write a book, they are fearful. They are fearful of their family reaction because they might talk about something negative. They are fearful of their own value. Will it matter or will it mean anything to anyone? They are possessed with those same doubts and fears, even though they've had a lot of success in other areas. So here is the key. Step one, make a firm commitment that your life is now dedicated to discovering, developing, and manifesting your divine nature and gifts. There's no other way to say it. Make a commitment. You are committed to discovering, developing, and manifesting your divine nature and gifts, and you're going to use it in the service of others. If you do that, you'll find help from all around you. You'll find help from unexpected sources. Thoreau said, if you move boldly in the direction of your dreams, help comes from unexpected sources, and the natural laws seem to reinterpret themselves in a more liberal fashion. I'm paraphrasing a bit, but if you want to see it, it's in his book after he lived on Walden Pond for a while. So number one is make a firm commitment that you're going to do this no matter what. Number two is explore what you know. What are you naturally good at? What have you had success at? What comes easy to you that you enjoy doing? What do people come and talk to you about? What is it? Often you kind of know, maybe you know specifically and directly, and the key for you is, I don't know how to do anything with it. And that's where we get to the third step. So number one is a firm commitment. Number two is experiment and play till you know what you want to do or you think you do. You don't have to have perfect clarity. What you do have to do is start. Number three is get some help. The most important thing I did to get myself moving was get the help. Now, whether that's in the form of counselors, which is I needed some, the most important thing for me was coaching. Because after I got healthy, or was on the way at least to getting healthy, I needed the insight, the inspiration, the wisdom, the example, and the energy that a coach can bring. And that's one of the things I love to say. I give energy, example, and encouragement to those committed to ending addiction to mediocrity. Do not deny your divinity any longer. Master your self-doubt and move firmly toward your ultimate life.
Open your heart and this time around.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. We hope that you take it deeply into your heart and decide for yourself how you can create anything you desire. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to this podcast and share it with your friends. As always, we'd love to hear your feedback and topic suggestions. Until tomorrow, this is Your Ultimate Life with host Kellen Flukiger.
Stand with your heart in the sky and your